Hallelujah. Good morning, everyone. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask just for some help this morning. I need this young man in the front row. Come on up here, dude, would you, with a maroon shirt on. Stand right here and face your accusers. No, face the church. Glory to God. We want to move along this morning by sharing a bit on the prophetic, sort of dovetailing with what Francis just spoke. And I also want to give you sort of an understanding, using my brother, regarding what the prophetic is all about. I can talk it or I can show it. Now, I want you to get this. Prophecy is about potential. It is not about inevitabilities. It is not about guarantees. It is not about certainties. It is about potential. Always has been, always will be. So in a moment, by the Holy Spirit, I'm going to begin to identify and clarify and affirm and confirm your potential. Whether you get there or not is between you and God. Come on. But one of the reasons that prophets were always getting in trouble is they just went around telling you what God was saying and what God was doing. And whether you got there or not was between you and God. Amen? And so I don't know whether you're going to get where I see God wanting you to get. But I'm going to prophesy over a bunch of you. And I'm going to speak your potential in God. So another way of understanding this is, my job is to do this. Watch. My job is to get down, inside you. And to get a hold of your call. He's got a pretty good call. To get a hold of that call and to prophetically, extract it from inside him, bring it out so that he can see it and get it, so that you can see it and pray for him. Wow, you got a pretty good call. Now you've got this gift and this gift and that gift within your call. Now here, apply faith to it, make your election and calling sure, and do the will of God. That's my job, is to get inside each of you and to extract your calling. Amen? Give your brother a hand. Way to go, Bill. And so Romans puts it this way. Listen very carefully. Romans 4 and verse 17. It says, as it is written, this was God speaking to Abraham in the Old Testament. It's in quotes. It's italicized. So we know this was an Old Testament quote. Romans 4 and 17. God speaking to Abraham. God said, I have made you a father of many nations. In the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and who calls those things that do not exist as though they do. Come on. That's potential. God's always done it this way. It's a way that he gets you up and gets you going in God. He speaks to things that are not as if they are. He'll speak to a childless couple. Imagine Abraham and Sarah here this morning. Yes, the old Jewish couple. Would you please stand up? So I stand up the old Jewish couple. Did I mention they were old? Abraham was 100. Sarah about 90. So I stand them up. And you all know the history of the old Jewish couple. So I'm ministering prophetically and everything's going along pretty smoothly till I stand this old Jewish couple up. And I say, yes, God shows me that you guys are just the father and mother of many nations and many offspring, and God has just populated the earth through you two. You would have gone, Denny was doing so well prophetically until he spoke to the old Jewish couple. They don't have many sons and daughters. They don't even have one son or daughter. They don't have a legitimate heir. Denny could not have been more inaccurate. No, God speaks to things that are not. That means in the Hebrew and the Greek, that are not. as if they are. You would have thought I missed it if I had stood up Abraham and Sarah and said those things to them. Then I looked over here and there's a younger fella named Jacob. And you're thinking, oh man, Denny's going to nail him. He's a scoundrel. His name meant surplanter. It meant circumventer. One who was always going around the truth. How many know folks like that? Little slippery, the kind of guy you don't want to turn your back on. That's who Jacob was. Come on. So you're thinking, well, we'll let it go with Abraham and Sarah. Denny didn't really, you know, but he's going to nail Jacob. He's a supplanter. He's a circumventer. I mean, he ripped off his brother. Come on, stole the blessing. You know, the whole story. So I stand up Jacob, and I begin to prophesy, yes, you are a covenant-making and covenant-keeping man. God has given you the name Israel today. His favor is upon you. He's going to bless you on the earth. People are going to be blessed through you. God couldn't be more pleased with your behavior. You would have said, oh, this is embarrassing. What did Francis do bringing this guy in? He spoke to the old Jewish couple and missed it. Then he stood Jacob up and really missed it. But listen to me. God's going to do the same thing here this morning. He's going to speak to some old Jewish couples. Come on. He's going to speak to some Jacobs and call them Israels when they're still Jacobs in their hearts. Get what I'm saying? And then way on the back, there's a young fella. Kind of a bold, brash, kind of outspoken kid named Gideon. Yeah, could you stand up, my brother? So Gideon stands up. And you all know the story of Gideon. Gideon was, at the time God spoke to him through the angel, a coward with an attitude. That's a bad combination. How many know what I mean? Be one or the other, but you don't want to be both. So the angel of the Lord said, Gideon, you are not going to be. Remember, God said Abraham and Sarah already were the father and mother of many nations. It said, I have made you a father and mother of many nations. To God, it was a done deal. Come on. God already knew what he was going to do with Jacob. So as far as God was concerned, Jacob was already in Israel in his heart. Right? And so I stand up Gideon, and God said, Gideon, you, through the angel, you are a mighty man of valor, and the Lord is with you. And you would have said, Denny was doing so well prophetically until he stood up, Abraham and Sarah, and then Jacob, and now Gideon. Because at the time God said that, Gideon was not a mighty man of valor. Come on. He was, in fact, a coward with an attitude. Really? Really? Mighty, mighty man of valor. This is what he said. Mighty man of valor? I don't think so. If this is true, which I highly doubt, that's what he said to the angel. Come on. Well, if that's true, then why is the land occupied by the enemy? And where are all the miracles my forefathers spoke about? I don't think so. Mighty man of valor? I don't think so. But God speaks to things that are not as if they are. Another translation renders it this way. God speaks to non-existent things as if they exist. There might be a Gideon or two here this morning. There might be a Jacob or two, an Abraham or Sarah or two. My favorite example of this is in John's Gospel. Peter found Nathanael. And Peter said to Nathanael, Nathanael, we have found him. We have found him of whom the scriptures spoke, of whom Moses and the law spoke. We have found him. We've been to his meetings. Awesome stuff is happening. An awesome man from Nazareth. And and Nathanael interrupts him in mid-sentence. Excuse me. You just mentioned miracles, signs, wonders, that's great. But did you just say in passing he was from Nazareth? Yeah, that's right. Isn't that interesting? I don't know. There's just a saying that I'm thinking of right now, Peter, regarding this first-hand personal testimony of yours and what you allegedly think you saw. I don't know. Ever heard of the expression, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Come on. And Nathanael was negative. Now get this. Skeptical, unbelieving, completely dissed his friend and said, "I don't know about this." Now, isn't that what Nathanael did? Good. Now get this. In the next verse, not 4 or 5 chapters after he got holy and sanctified and redeemed and got his hand, in the next verse, Jesus sees this same Nathanael coming. Negative, skeptical, unbelieving, critical, judgmental, just got finished telling his good friend, "I don't believe a word you're saying. I know you say, but I just don't see it." And let's face it, can any good... He was proud, he was prejudiced. Come on. There was a slogan, there was a saying, basically that said, that's the other side of the tracks. It's Nazareth. Come on. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? I don't think so. This was Nathanael's state of mind. Well, Jesus sees this same Nathanael coming. And Jesus says, "Behold, an Israelite in whom there is absolutely no guile." And you can just imagine the crowd thinking, Jesus was doing so well prophetically until he called this guy who was full of guile as if he was a man of no guile. God always does this in the prophetic. He speaks to things that are not as if they are. He speaks to stingy people that they're generous. He speaks to selfish people that they are great givers. Come on. He speaks to spiritual cowards that they are spiritual pioneers. Come on. And he's going to do the same thing today. He speaks to things that are not as if they are. Now, before I begin to minister prophetically, remember this. You are not going to see everything that I see. That's why I'm the speaker this morning and you're not. You got to get this. If you could see everything I could see, you'd be up here, but you're not. We all have blind spots. We all need help. We need someone to speak to non-existent things as though they exist, because that births those new realities. Well, how does that happen? Through words. Well, wait a minute. This is sounding new agey. No, it's New Testament. What do you mean through words? I'm telling you that we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. In other words, our God, the Creator, cannot help himself. When he speaks, he creates. He can't help it. The earth was without form and void. Let there be light. Bam! There was light. Come on. He uses words to create, and of course in a much lesser degree, through his servant. That's exactly what he's going to do today. He's going to create some new realities in and through you. Isn't that awesome? He uses words to create, words to create. I'm going to speak to some things that are not as if they are. I'm going to call someone out and say, you know, I just see evangelism all over you. And that's what how I operate. I see stuff on people because I'm a seer. So I just see evangelism all over you. And immediately after the service, he'll tell 10 friends, "I don't have an ounce of evangelism on me. I think sinners all should go to hell where they belong. I don't want to be evangelistic. I'm not going to be evangelistic. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, and everybody else can go to hell. I don't want to be bothered by unbelievers." Glory to God. How many know that guy would not be real evangelistic, right? But God speaks the things that are not as if they are. So immediately after this word about evangelism, he's totally against it. For a week, he's convinced God was wrong. about 2 weeks after the prophecy, he's considering the possibility that just maybe it would be something that he would, could be, maybe become if God was in it, but probably not. About 6 months after the prophecy, he's open to it. He, you know, wouldn't want to jump into anything, but he would be open to the possibility of being evangelistic. About a year after the prophecy, he can't watch TV without weeping when he sees the masses on TV without a Savior. About 6 months after that, he's praying all the time for the lost. About 6 months after that, about on the 2-year anniversary of his prophecy that was so wrong, he reports to the pastor and says, "Is there anything that I can do in an outreach sort of way to reach lost? But I'm not evangelistic." In other words, listen to me. The prophecy is the constant and you are the variable. God does not conform the prophecy to fit you. He conforms you to fit the... You know what? Abraham and Sarah became exactly what God said. Read Romans 4. They did not waver. They believed that God was able to do what he said, and that's the frame of mind that I want you to have for everyone that I stand up today. I'm going to speak some things. You're going to think I'm still on drugs. You're going to think, "Denny, how did you find something good to say about him?" I mean, you know how I did that? Number one, by faith. Number two, because I don't know your humanity and don't care to. Right? That's his job. My job is to speak to things that do not exist as though they do, and then the power of God will be released into your life and will bring those very non-existent realities into existence. Isn't that awesome? That's the purpose of the prophetic. Give the Lord a hand. Come on. Okay. So that's what we're going to do. This morning, young man, you're a big young man with your hand on your chin and a gold wristwatch and a blue striped shirt. Would you please stand up right where you are? You're all right. What's your name, sir? Ben. Hi, Ben. Big Ben. The Lord says, "Ben, listen very carefully. I'm after you." And the Lord says, "We can do this the easy way or we can do this the hard way." But God says, "I'm on your case and I'm trying to draw you into a call of God that's upon your life." When I was sharing comments earlier about being evangelistic, you are, in fact, says the Lord, an evangelistic gift to the body of Christ. But over the last year, you and the Lord have been having some conversations, and he's been trying to realign you and realign your thinking and realign your behaviors because there's an awesome call of God upon your life. But the Lord says, "Son, you're going to go to Nineveh. You can go there on the water, or you can go there under the water, but you're going to go to Nineveh." And so the Lord says, "Son, there is a strong, strong call of God upon your life." The Lord says, "Son, I would highly recommend that you begin to submit to the drawing of the Holy Spirit." Because when God is through with you, Ben, he's going to make you a cutting-edge evangelistic gift to the body of Christ. He's going to begin to melt your heart beginning today, and over the next 6 months, you're going to go through a series of spiritual transformations where at the end of 6 months, you'll be ready to step into that which God has for you. The Lord says, "Son, what I'm preparing you for will require years of training, so don't jump ship. Don't try to go in the opposite direction of where the wind of God is blowing like Jonah did, but go with the flow. Go with the flow. I'm going to make you a humble and a submissive man in the body of Christ that will draw many into a saving knowledge of the Savior," says the Lord. It's a good word for Ben. Amen. Now, there's a couple right back here. You, sweetheart, have a white blouse on. You're leaning on the right, left shoulder of your husband. You guys husband and wife? Right there. Sir, yeah. You're looking at your wife? Yeah. I can't tell. What did you say? Okay, I can't see. I thought you were husband and wife. Both of you stand up. No, I can't tell from here. Okay, you're the 12-year-old daughter and you're the older father. Good. Sweetheart, what is your first name? Say again. Emily, listen. The Lord would say, "Woman of God, I've given you a worship gift, a worship gift, a worship gift. I'm going to anoint it. I'm going to give you the ability to sing songs, bringing my people into my presence as never before. I'm also going to make you skilled in a number of instruments. I am placing upon you today a worship leader anointing, a worship leader anointing. I'm going to bring you forward in your growth and development as a believer, especially in the area of praise and worship. And when I'm done with you, worship will roll and flow forth from you, and hundreds, even thousands, will be ministered to and blessed by the awesome worship leader anointing that I have placed upon you. And you, man of God, have come before me just recently, and you have said, Lord, I want to go all out. I want to throw caution to the wind. I want to make the leap. I want to go with God and for God. And son, you have brought a smile to my face, and you have caused a joy to rise up within my heart, as any father would have toward a son who has done the will of his father. And son, I bless you this day. And the Lord says, I'm now going to begin to light a fire on the inside of you. That fire that once burned bright went out some years ago. You went through some struggles. You went through some betrayals. You went through some relationships that went sour, and it left a wounding on your soul. But I am the great physician, and I am healing you on the inside today. And I'm going to fan the flame of the gift of God within you. The Lord says, son, your best days lie before you. I have not altered my original plan concerning your life. I am going to raise you up and make you a shepherd of the sheep. I'm going to give you a heart for people. You will be expert at reaching down and pulling those out of a backslidden or cold love circumstance. And I'm going to use you, man of God, to bring many back into the kingdom who have cast away their confidence. Also, my son, there has been a curse upon your family for four generations, and you have seen it spring up and said, Lord, what is wrong? What has happened? I'm going to remove dysfunction from your family background. I'm going to extend even the life expectancy of people in your family line has been shortened by generational curses and sin. But God said, son, I'm breathing on you, making you whole and restoring you and your family line. I lift off of you all generational hindrances, all generational curses. And the Lord says, now watch what I do. Blessing will now come upon you, says the Lord. Amen. Good word. Now remember, that is not a husband and wife, that's a father and daughter. We'll blame that on the spotlights. There's a couple right back here, you both have blue tops on. You just looked at your wife, and you guys, good, stand up. Your name, sir?
Steve.
Hi, Steve. And your name, my dear?
Dawn.
Dawn. Steve, lift your hands. This is going to be a very deep and detailed word. I hope you can get it. Listen carefully. Pastor. Did you get that, Steve? Okay. Now, Dawn, the Lord would say, woman of God, in this most recent season of your life, there has been great turmoil and chaos over your life. The enemy has been trying to hold you back. The enemy has been trying to trip you up. The enemy has even allowed some folks to sow some stuff into you in the form of doubt and unbelief. And you've been wrestling with your destiny. You've been questioning whether or not I am capable of raising you up. Well, I want you to get the revelation. I put up whom I will. That's all that matters. I will to lift you up. I will to promote you in the body of Christ. And I want to give you a ministry. I want to give you an ability to touch lives. You're the one who said to me, Lord, the body of Christ is a mess. You're the one who said to me, Jesus, how are you ever going to return for a bride without spot or wrinkle? The Lord says, I'm going to use you as a bridesmaid. I'm going to use you to beautify the bride. I'm going to use you, woman of God, to bring healing to the many-membered body of Christ. I'm going to heal you, and I'm going to fill you with a brand new joy and a brand new enthusiasm that's going to bubble up and flow forth from others. I have given you the gift of hospitality. Open your door to your home and bring the saints out. I've also placed within you, woman of God, a word of knowledge and discerning of spirits gifts. These two gifts will flow hand in hand, and many will be freed by the liberty that I place upon your life this day, says the Lord. Amen. Good word. There's a couple right back here, four rows back, right at the foot of the camera. You have glasses, a mustache, and your wife has a pretty flower on her blouse. Yeah. Would you guys please stand up? Your name, sir?
Bob.
There's a movie about you, you know. What about Bob? And your name, honey? Therese. You guys close your eyes. Get ready to hear from God. The Lord says, son and daughter, the things that are impossible with man are possible with me. I want you to get ready. Ooh, I want you to get ready, says the Lord, for a season of the impossible. I'm going to show up. You've been asking me to show up in your family. You've been asking me to show up in the workplace. You've been asking me to touch your finances. You've been asking me, Lord, we've been sowing, but we ain't been reaping. You're right. And so now I'm going to come against those spirits that have resisted you, and I'm going to bind them. And if you will begin to speak against those circumstances that you know are not God, I'm going to bind and loose, as you bind and loose, and I'm going to bring a level of untold blessing and prosperity upon you. And the Lord says, son and daughter, I want you to cast your cares upon me because I care for you. I do not want you to lose your focus, but I want you to rise up. I am activating you in the house of God. You will no longer be a hidden, secret, obscure couple, but I am bringing you out of obscurity. I am placing upon you a magnetic anointing so that younger married couples can begin to see the work that I have done in both of you. I am going to use you to bless and heal and minister. And so the Lord says, get ready for the time of your life. You two are the ones who said to me, we want to go for it. We feel like two spiritual teenagers. We feel like we want to run with the younger crowd. We might be getting older in the natural, but we feel like we're getting younger in the spiritual. You're right. I have placed within you eternity. And so God says, rise up and begin to minister to the younger generation. Many shall be touched by not only the words of your mouth and the love in your hand, but God says also by the lives that you live, I'm going to send people to you that are wavering in their faith, unsettled in their commitment, and you will cause them to tie into the local church and to flourish, 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 says the Lord. Good. On that same roll, there's a gentleman to the right of Therese, a stand-up man of God right there with a nice turtleneck and a nice jacket. Lift your hands right up, lift your hands right up. The Lord says, son, some 10 years ago, the enemy came against you and desired to sift you as wheat. And he allowed some murmuring and complaining and gossiping and backbiting folks to come in. And you were slandered, slandered, slandered. And everything went up in smoke. But God says, I let it happen because I had to put you in a dungeon for 10 years. I had to see what you were made of. I had to see whether you were going to have the right attitude. And boy, do you have the right attitude. You have a redemptive streak in you. You said, well, just like Joseph said, God sent me ahead. God sent me ahead. And what you all intended for evil, God intended for good. And so the Lord would say, you're like a Joseph. If you are coming out of your dungeon today, this is the 10th anniversary. You're coming out, coming out, coming out. You even got discouraged 2 years ago because you thought I was going to move you into ministry then. And then the forgetful butler forgot you again, Joseph. But God says, this is your anniversary. You're coming out party. The Lord says, son, now I'm going to begin to reinstitute you and to reinstate you. That's the word. I'm going to reinstate you, says the Lord, and I'm going to cause the original call of God upon your life to flourish. You are a preacher and a teacher waiting to happen, but you've not had proper support. You've not had a proper support around you, but God said, I'm going to begin to add people to your life. The phone will ring. Invitations will come. And by the way, son, you've gotten too comfortable. You've become a homebody. Well, I'm going to give you that desire to run and go and do, and you're going to travel, travel, travel for the kingdom of God, and doors will open. And the Lord says, even international, 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 I'm going to let you go where not many Americans can go, and you're going to take the word of the Lord even into other nations, says the Lord. And then right down from you, would you please stand up, young lady? Yes, what's your first name? What is it? Hi, Gladys. Gladys, lift your hands right up. The Lord would say, woman of God, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of man what I have prepared for them that love me. But, these things have been revealed to you by my Holy Spirit. You are a woman of revelation. You are a woman of insight. If you think you've preached people happy in the past, you ain't seen nothing yet. I'm going to cause you to stir and stimulate the body of Christ. I'm going to anoint you as a drill sergeant. Yeah, I'm going to anoint you as a drill sergeant. You're going to say to the troops, attend. Huh. And I'm going to use you, says the Lord, to take raw recruits, and you're going to fill them up and disciple them I've even spoken to you about a training center. I even spoke to you about training my kids, my sons and daughters. Well, the Lord would say, what you need is supernatural intervention. You said to me about 2 weeks ago, Lord, I don't have two dimes to rub against another. I can't fulfill the call of God. I'm frustrated. I'm anxious. God, things aren't getting better. They're getting worse. What's going on? The Lord would say, daughter, the enemy has raised his ugly head. And he's tried to bring a spirit of discouragement upon you. But I want you to rise up and I want you to take the bull by the horns and say, with my God, I can run through a troop and I can leap over a wall and I'm going to see the fulfillment of God's call upon my life. The Lord says, daughter, you begin to confess it and I'll begin to do it. A training center, a drill sergeant. The Lord says, a preaching and teaching machine. And not only that, I've been talking to you about some real estate. I've been talking to you about investing in some houses and lands. And I'm going to speak to you supernaturally where to begin to invest your money. And I will give you an investment strategy that will be a financial hedge against the future, says the Lord. Amen. Good word for you. Isn't God good? Hallelujah. There's a young couple, I think. I don't think it's a father and daughter. I think it's a young couple. And you, sir, have dark hair and a blue-white stripe. Yeah, you're smiling right now. Is that your bride with you? You guys married to one another? Good. Cool. Hey, you got a check nowadays. That's good. And your name, sir? Ben. Ben? Another big Ben over there. And your name, honey?
Jenny.
Jenny. How long you love birds been married?
Just over a year.
Just over a year. Huh. Anyways, Jen, just get a piece of paper and a pen and start picking out some real nice names, okay? God's going to help you get some real nice names. I'm not implying anything. I won't go there. But just write down some names. It'll be okay. That's number one. Number two. You probably knew this when you got married, but you guys have a very unusual marriage. It's a supernatural marriage. It's not something that you planned on doing. God did it. In fact, you both had different plans to go different ways, and you had earlier relationships that you thought were going to end up in marriage, but they dissolved because they weren't God. So you were going north. You were going south. God turned both of you, and you ran into each other. It was literally a love at first sight. You, Ben, don't speak French, but you saw her and went, ooh, la, la. And I'm supposed to tell you that this marriage has suffered attacks. It's been a very volatile time, not between the two of you, but evil spirits have not wanted the two of you to be of one mind. There's been a spirit of confusion that has been coming against you guys for the last 7 months. And the Lord says, you did nothing wrong. It was just an attack of the enemy. But God said, I'm going to break that confusion off of both of your minds. You two have been saying, we're praying, but we're not breaking through. You had a conversation about a week ago. Man, we're praying, but there's something wrong. We can't break through. There is an evil spirit that visits your bedroom around 3:15 in the morning, and that evil spirit begins to put a fear and a spirit of unbelief on both of you, and the unbelief spirit doesn't want you to pray and break through in prayer. But I break the neck of that spirit of unbelief on both of you, and also that spirit of fear will no longer torment you. The Bible says fear has torment, and both of you have remarked, man, there's something wrong. We don't feel physically well. There's headaches, there's stress, there's strain, there's anxiety on us. We've never were this way. What's going on? It's a spiritual attack. You didn't sin. You didn't miss God. You don't have to repent. The enemy just wanted to come against you. So I expose him as the great loser that he is. And I prophesy liberty and freedom and release, release, release from everything that has tormented you. I also prophesy over you, my brother. You're overworked and underpaid, and you've been praying about a new direction, a new career. God says, I'm going to breathe upon your ambitions. I'm going to let you prosper because you're going to be sort of like a Solomon. You're not going to put money first. You're going to say, Lord, I'd rather have you. And God said, I'm going to let you be like a Solomon that has a wisdom, wisdom, wisdom. But at the same time, I'm going to breathe upon you financially, and I'm going to cause you to prosper. In fact, you're going to be a wealthy man. People are going to come up to you and say, we need to work for you. But the Lord says, son, when I begin to prosper you, be very, very careful who you let into your business plans, says the Lord. Oh, Jen. Is your name Jen? Is that right, Jen? Jen, you have a prophetic gift. When you come into the house of God, you start to feel funny feelings in your stomach. And you go, oh, I don't want to say anything public. I'm not good in crowds. The Lord says, never say never again. I'm going to anoint you, and I'm going to cause a prophetic gift to rise up from within you. It's time to speak up or blow up. The Lord says, it's your choice, but I want you to start prophesying to the body of Christ, says the Lord. Now, there's a gentleman right straight back here in the second to the last row. You just look behind you, sir. You just look, stand right up. Yes, what's your first name? Yeah, you, sir. What is it? Hi, Terry. Terry, right? Terry, just want to set the stage. God loves you. You know what else? He likes you. God loves and likes you. And there are several issues from your childhood that has scarred you emotionally. You've never gotten over them. You're doing everything you know to do as far as obeying God. But you were hurt, you were wounded, you were scarred. And there was even some curse-like words spoken over you as a young boy. The Lord says, son, my Holy Spirit is going to take you back to those situations. I'm going to show you where you were wounded. I'm going to isolate those words that were spoken over you. You're going to give some forgiveness to those folks that did some things to you. You're going to be healed, emotionally made whole as never before. Then you'll begin to soar in your confidence and also in your authority in spiritual matters. The Lord says you've been hoodwinked by the enemy who has told you that you're never really going to know the blessings of God. Other people will be blessed, but not you. The Lord says that's a lie from the pit of hell. God's blessing is going to increase upon your life. And within 6 weeks, says God, there's going to be an opportunity presented to you that's going to move you into financial prosperity. Go through that door, for it'll be my will, says the Lord. Now, right behind you, in the last row, there's a lady with a white top on. My dear, you just looked at me. Yes, would you please stand up? Yes, what's your first name? Say again.
Susan.
Susan. Hi, Susan. Everyone say hi, Susan.
Real
quick, Susan, I'm just going to tell you what I see. The last 90 days of your life, you and Jesus have been having some meetings. And Jesus has been saying to you, you're incredibly gifted, you're talented, you have much to offer the body of Christ, and I don't want you to live in the past anymore. You've been living in the past because you went through some things where people wounded you and scarred you. You knew some betrayal, some abandonment, and basically you said, I don't need this ministry business. I just want to go and be fed and be filled. Well, God says it's time for you to get over the past, and it's time for you to rise up and to become the woman of God I've called you to be. You have much influence in you, even a high level of authority in spiritual matters, and I now need to begin to use you to bless the many-membered body of Christ. So the Lord says, I'm going to bring you out of spiritual mothballs this morning. I'm bringing you out of retirement. I'm not going to retire you. I'm going to refire you. It's time for you to rise up, and it's time for you to be the woman of God, the minister, the flame of fire that I have called you to be. I'm going to visit you in the night. I'm going to visit you in dreams. I'm going to begin to lay your destiny out before you. In fact, is that your husband to your right? Real quick, stand up, man of God. The Lord says over you, sir, I've given you a heart for the sheep. I've given you a gift of mercy and compassion. That's why you cry the way you do. That's why you weep the way you do. You've been saying, Lord, the tears have been coming on even stronger lately. What's going on? I am activating you. If you think I'm activating her, I am activating you. And I want you to start loving on my sheep. I want you to start caring for my kids. And the Lord said, a gift of mercy and grace and compassion, son, is going to begin to flow through you. And so the Lord says to both of you, welcome to the ministry. Welcome to the ministry. Welcome to the ministry, says the Lord. Amen. Pastor Francis. Whatever you want me to do. Five more minutes. Okay, now we're going to begin to expose sin publicly. So as I call you out, just fess up and we can get through this painlessly. Just kidding. Just kidding. Just kidding. Sir, you have a black hat on and you're chewing gum and you got a goatee and a black shirt. Yeah, stand right up. I like you. What's your first name? Hi, Shane, right? Shane, about a year ago, God began to draw you into the kingdom. If it wasn't for God's mercy about a year ago, you would have gone into some trouble, but God spared you. You knew that you were on the verge of making some decisions that were going to be counterproductive, but God intervened, and you began to steer your heart toward the things of God. You were a very bold, unapologetic sort of man. You just know who you are. You know what you want in life. But the Lord says, I know better than you, and the Lord told me to tell you, that if it were not for his mercies, how old are you? 36. If it was not for his mercies, you would not have made your 21st birthday, but you did because the Lord intervened and saved your life. But the Lord says, son, what I've saved you from cannot compare to what I've saved you for. And I brought you here to let you know, son, that I need evangelists. I need people. who will marry themselves to the backslider. I need people who will go out to the highways and the byways and to compel them to come into the things of God. I'm going to send you forth from this day to go back to the place I saved you from. Go back to some of the pigs that are wallowing in their vomit and begin to draw them into the house of God. I am going to place upon you an evangelistic anointing, a magnetic-like anointing, and people will be drawn into the kingdom in and through the words that come forth from your mouth, says the Lord. Young man, you have a hat on. You have a hat on right back there. Yeah, stand right up. Yeah, you have a hat on. The Lord says, brother. The Lord says, within 7 days, I'm going to activate a dream ministry. When you go to bed now, you don't dream about nothing. You are dead to the world. I see someone next to you doing this, elbowing you. You're like, you're just gone. That's why this is going to be supernatural. God said, I'm going to give you a ministry in dreams. It's going to start in 7 nights, says the Lord. Young man right behind him just looked at me with a black shirt on and dark hair. Yeah, stand right up. No, sorry, sir. Right here. That's it. Yeah. Your first name? Ben? Matt. Hi, Matt. 3 words. Missions, 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 says the Lord. There's a young lady with a dark vest and a red blouse right there. Yes, would you please stand up? You have a gift of the word of knowledge and a gift of the word of wisdom that have been occupying some space in your spirit, but you've not been giving them out. That's why the gifts haven't been growing. So begin to operate in the gift of the word of knowledge, the gift of the word of wisdom, and begin to tag team people with these two awesome gifts, and those gifts will grow to brand new levels, says the Lord. Young lady right here in the green, real quick, would you please stand up? You're going to need further training. What's your first name? Nicole. Hi, Nicole. You're going to need further training to fulfill the call of God upon your life. You are 1 out of 1,000, a very unique call, a very different mission God has called you to go and go to nations and do things that other young women could never do. I'm even going to take you to some nations that white, blonde-haired American gals don't go to. I'm going to do it. But you're going to need some further missionary training, the Lord says, so get along with me, and I'm going to tell you where to go and where to get that training. And by the way, finances will not be a problem. You prayed about 2 weeks ago, Lord, I need extra money to get the job done. And God said, I'm going to breathe upon you and cause people to actually begin to donate to your ministry. You're going to say, well, I don't even have a ministry. Don't say that again. The ministry money is going to start showing up. Put it in a separate account so that when God is ready for you, you will be ready for God. Almost one more person, and I'm done. One more person, and I'm done. Yeah, she's right back here. My dear. Sir, you have dark hair, glasses, a goatee, a black shirt, and a white thing in the middle. Yeah, the lady to your right. The lady to your right is sitting next to you. Yes, that would be you. Yeah, stand right up. Yeah, real quick. What's your first name, dear? What is it? Hi, Aaron. Aaron, when you were 14 years of age, a spirit of depression came upon you. It's tormented you ever since then. The Lord is delivering you from it. It'll never plague you again. It even affects your physical body. Even some of your female parts are not operating properly and normally in a proper cycle. God's going to heal that. So 2 miracles. Your female parts are going to be healed. You're going to begin to function properly in that area. Number 2, that depression is coming off of you. You also have a background of history of migraines. They're also coming off of you. Jesus is the great physician. He's healing you now, says the Lord. Amen.
Amen.